We have felt the power of your love here already this morning. And that's the title of my message, The Power of His Love. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I give this time to you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak through me, to anoint me, to help speak the word of God boldly, clearly, powerful, with authority, but to speak the truth in love and just bless your people. Our hearts are ready. We're prepared. The soil is prepared to receive your seed right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as I said earlier, we will be receiving communion together today. And this is my prayer as your pastor, and it's really not my prayer. It's going to end up being the Apostle Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3. But as we receive his body and blood, that the Holy Spirit will truly help us, even more than we've already experienced this morning, understand the power of his love. God demonstrated and showed us how much he loved us. And while we were yet sinners and enemies, he still sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to redeem us, to bring us back to himself. What amazing love. He loved us so much. He didn't care how wicked, how rotten, how dirty we were, how evil we were, how much we hated him. Look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul literally hated Jesus and was persecuting people. But he loved him so much, he saved him. He did the same for us by sending his son Jesus to die on that cross for us, to have his body broken and his blood shed for us so that we could come back into total relationship. So we could be in his presence now, come into the Holy of Holies and be in his presence 24/7. Hallelujah. So as we come to the table of grace together, I like to call it the table of grace, the communion table, I believe, is the Lord's table of grace, and focus on his love and remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. I pray that we'll receive the spiritual strength that the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers to receive in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul understood the power of the love of Christ and wanted us, the church, to have the power of his love burning in our hearts so that we could experience all the fullness of God. In other words, we're praying, I'm praying today for this church, that we can know his love and have the power of his love burning in our hearts so that we can be filled with everything that God has for us. Do you want that? Yes. Amen. Amen. So turn to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 14. This is Paul praying that exact prayer. At the end, I think it's verses 17 and 18, he prays that we would know the love of Christ, that we would be able to comprehend together in unity the height, the length, the width, the depth of Christ's love. Because when we do that, he says, you can have all the fullness of God. That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, do you think that's possible? Amen. That's what I like to hear. Paul did too. And we'll see that today. Verse 14 and 15. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He's talking about God's family, the family of God. God promises his love and power to his family, the church. If we want to receive God's blessing, that's why it's so important that we stay in contact with other believers in the body of Christ. Stay in fellowship. Do not forsake the assembling together of the brethren. Those who isolate themselves from God's family and try to go it alone cut themselves off from God's power. Don't want to do that. That's why coming together as one, that's what Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17, that we would be one, just as he and the Father are one, that we would all be one, is so powerful. Especially when we do it like we're doing today for the purpose and reason we're here today, to honor him by receiving the Lord's Supper at the table of grace. I don't know about you, but these are some of my favorite, communion services are some of my favorite services. because there's no probably no greater time when we're in harmony and one accord and in greater unity than when we're all just focusing on remembering what Jesus did for us. What his body and blood and his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension accomplished for us. Amen. Verse 16. I ask God that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Not out of his glory or out of his wealth, but according to. There's a big difference. Because a wealthy person might give a small amount, and that would be just giving out of their riches. But Paul's asking that God would give to us in proportion to his glory. That's a big difference. Do you want that? I mean, sometimes we pray so small, we ask so small. I want him to empower us and give us his might in proportion to his glory. Not just a little bit out of it, but in proportion to it. There's a big difference. Paul asks that God will give strength according to the riches of his perfections. Our God is infinitely rich in glory. Let's get ready for a flood of his glory. You want to receive a flood of his glory today? Why should we ask so little of such a great and awesome King and God, right? You know, he loves, any king, any ruler, any leader loves when a person comes to them and asks according to what they have, their perfections, their wealth. Because it means you know how awesome your God is. You're not coming asking little things from a little God. You're coming asking great things that he's promised from a big, big, awesome God. Amen? So now we're going to come to the specific prayer request that Paul makes. Instead of a series of like disconnected petitions, try to think of them as a progression in which each petition kind of lays the groundwork for the next. Think of it like this. These petitions are all connected together. They're like a pyramid. The first request is the bottom layer of stones, and as he keeps advancing, he builds towards a glorious peak or climax. He starts with this, that we would be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Strengthened with might through his spirit. We know it's only the Holy Spirit. Spiritual power. We've been praying that ever since the Pentecost. We've been going through the book of Acts now. We know how important that it is that we cannot do anything that God's called us to do. We can't even live the Christian life, let alone perform the things that he's asked us to do, the duties that he's asked us to do for him. We cannot do any of those things if we're not empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. If we don't have his might and his power, we dare not try to do these things in our own strength, in our own human wisdom, in our own flesh. It will never, ever accomplish anything for the kingdom of God. Not only the power to be his witnesses and perform spectacular miracles, we all love that, and we know that those are some of the main reasons, but the spiritual vigor and vitality that's needed to be mature, stable, intelligent Christians. Then we know that that power only comes from who? From the Holy Spirit of God that Jesus promised he would pour out, and that he did pour out abundantly on the day of Pentecost. And he pours out abundantly on every true believer who repents of their sins and puts their faith in Jesus Christ. He can give us the strength only. The strength comes from when we feed on the Word of God, as we breathe the pure air of prayer and praise, like we just did, right? And as we get exercise in our daily service for the Lord. It's very simple. It's the same in the spiritual as it is in the physical. You have to eat right, you have to breathe right, and you have to exercise. You have to work out. Work out your spiritual muscles. We work out our muscles when we're doing our service for the Lord, when we're serving Him. That's how you build your spiritual muscles up. So important. And that's when the Holy Spirit pours out the strength and gives us the might. Verse 17, and I pray that Christ will make His home in your hearts through faith. This is an awesome one, too. Remember, it's just, see how it just keeps building and building? First, He asks the Holy Spirit to give us might to do all that He has. Then He says, Christ will make His home in your hearts. What's He saying here? He's praying that the Lordship of Jesus, that Jesus will be Lord of every area of your life, every area of your heart, that it would, His Lordship would extend to the books we read, the work we do, the food we eat, the money we spend, the words we speak, the things we watch on TV. In short, every minute detail of our lives is under His Lordship. That's what it means that we really, He's living in our hearts by faith. Who sits on the throne of your heart? You or Jesus? We have to believe by faith that Jesus Himself lives there. The more we're like Him, the more He settles down in our heart and He feels completely at home in our hearts. As we're taking communion today, that's a good thing to ask yourself, right? Does Jesus really feel at home in your heart? Are there some things in your heart, some areas, some rooms in our hearts that we haven't really given to Him? Before we take communion, that's a really good thing to do, right? Examine ourselves. That's what Paul told us to do. And Paul says, how do we do that? Through faith. It's only through our faith. This means that we have constant dependence on Him, constant surrender to Him, and constant recognition of His at-homeness. He's at home in our heart. He's there. We can know that. And He sits on the throne of our heart. Then He says, I pray that you may have your roots and foundation in love, the power of love. Paul stresses love all the time. Love for God, His love, God's love for us, our love for Him, and especially our love for one another. That we be rooted and grounded in love. This is a double metaphor. One's taken from agriculture, being rooted. The other from architecture, being grounded. It means like a building being built, a foundation. Your foundation is in love. The roots talk about the soil in which the souls are, our souls are to grow and our spirits are to grow. As trees, we're to be rooted in love. Into the infinite love of God, our souls by faith are to bury their roots. Our roots have to go down deep into God's love. Because from His love and from His soil of His love, that's where we get all of our nourishment that's essential for our growth. Remember what He said in Psalm 3, I think it is? Or when we're planted by the rivers of the Lord, we'll never ever be barren, we'll never ever be dry. That's what He's talking about here. Your roots have to go down deep into the love of God. Psalm 1, is it Psalm 1? So that's what He's talking about there. A building, when He's talking about building, has to be, the foundation is laid in His love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The ground on which alone the soul and all of our hopes and expectations can be safely established is only on the love of God. God's love is a foundation that cannot be shaken. That's very important to remember. When you're grounded in God's love, your foundation is, you know how much God loves you. You can't be shaken. Amen? And it's from the power of God's love alone that the doctrine of redemption flows to man. His love, that's where it flows. It flows. Redemption flows from the love of God, from the heart of God, from the love of God to every man, every person who will accept. He wants to redeem every single person. Save them. Bring them home. purchased them. He has purchased them. Verse 18, so that you, together with all God's people, may have the power to understand how broad and long, how high and deep is Christ's love. Notice how important he says that you together with all God's people. Communion, community, amen? He wants us all to have, when we get it all together, when we all understand and comprehend how awesome his love is, let me tell you, there'll be the church will be unstoppable in the world. The gospel will go forth like never before. Paul asked that they might be able to understand together in community every dimension of the love of Jesus. Paul wants us to know it by experience, not just in words. What is the width and length and depth and height? This means that the love of Jesus has dimensions and that it can be measured. To come to any understanding of the dimensions of God's love, you first have to go to the cross. Come to the cross. Why? Because the cross pointed all four ways. Right? Height, depth, length, width. Essentially in every direction, because God's love is wide enough to include every person. He will redeem by his blood people from every tribe, nation, and tongue upon the earth. That's how wide it is. God's love is long enough to last throughout all eternity. Why? Because he tells you, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Amen? That's how long it is. God's love is deep enough to reach the worst sinner. Hallelujah. And God's love is high enough to take us with him to heaven. Well, he already tells us that we're accepted in the beloved and that we are seated with him already by faith in heavenly places. Amen? Can't get any higher than that. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. He's talking about knowing it spiritually. We have to know it intellectually, but he's not just talking about knowing intellectual knowledge here. But spiritually, to know the love of Christ, because that passes knowledge. It isn't speculation, guesswork, emotion, or feelings. This is something that we can know because the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. You can know that because the Holy Spirit should be bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. And he says when we know that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is awesome. This phrase is so incredible. There's lots of awesome sayings in this prayer, but this last part that I just read, that we can know all the fullness of God, is the greatest part of this prayer. Because we can be filled with God. That's a great thing, right? You can be filled with the fullness of God. That's even greater. But that's not what he says. He wants us not to just be filled with God, not to just be filled with the fullness of God, but to be filled with all the fullness of God. Right? There's a difference. That just blows our mind. It blows my mind that we can do that. And it kind of confounds us, our understanding. Can we really do that? Let me ask you, do you believe it's possible? I do too. You want to know why? Paul tells us in the next few verses. Because our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Why? Because it doesn't depend on us. What's it depend on? His power. His spirit. And he doesn't just say I think he can do it. He uses the words exceedingly abundantly. Paul's telling us this is possible. With God's powerful love working in us, he can do much, much more than anything we ask or think. That's what exceedingly abundantly means. Super abundantly. Not just more, but much, 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 much more than we could ever think or ask. He can do it. so we can be filled with all the fullness of God. This is how the Amplified Bible puts that verse. The action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far above and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever. Amen? As I was reading through this, it's, you know, this is when Paul first started preaching to the Gentile church. So this is kind of the launch of the Gentile church. So Paul was looking at the Gentile church as the new temple of God. One person said that this prayer is actually very similar to Solomon's prayer that he prayed to dedicate the temple. So Paul is kind of praying to dedicate the new church, the new Gentile church, the new temple, because he's no longer dwelling in buildings. Who is the temple? We are the temple. So that's why, remember what happened when Solomon prayed his prayer? He says after he prayed his prayer, this is what happened. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from the sky, burned up the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the Lord's temple because the glory of the Lord filled it. Let me just stop. I shared this the last time I was here. That was Old Testament. Who is the temple now? Who are the priests now? They couldn't go into the glory of God because they still were in the Old Testament. But guess what? We're in the New Testament. Jesus has made a way. We are the temples. Not only so he lives and dwells, his glory lives and dwells in us now. And as priests, we can still minister and do all that he called us to do in his glory, in the fullness of his presence. That's just a little extra nugget there. When all the Israelites saw the fire come down from heaven and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces, they worshiped him, down low to the ground on the pavement. They worshiped and thanked the Lord, and they sang this song. He is good, and his mercy endures forever. That word mercy doesn't just mean mercy, that he holds back wrath from us, but it means also his loving kindness. He is good, and his loving kindness, the power of his love, endures forever. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and receive communion now. Have the ushers pass out the elements, the body and the blood of Jesus. Are you ready? You ready to receive all the fullness of God? As we come together, remembering his great love for us that he showed for us through his broken body, his shed blood, and we begin to praise him and worship him, pray, the glory of God is going to fill us all. Not fill this place, but he wants to fill us. Amen? We are the temple. This church is not the temple. We are the temple. But his love, his atmosphere, his presence. We already had a little taste, a good big taste, not just a little taste already this morning. But he has even more for us. Amen? Amen. How's everybody holding up with the heat? Everybody good? Guys, can't be too bad. I'm not too bad up here preaching, so you can't be too bad sitting there. Thank you. Lord, we love you and praise you. And we seriously, Lord, we want all of this. Fill us with your might by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let Jesus live in our hearts through faith. We just search ourselves right now. Jesus, if there's anything that we haven't given you ownership and surrendered the lordship of you in our hearts, we give it over. Just search your heart right now. If there's anything, give it to him. Unforgiveness especially can be a block to the Lord's power and glory in your life. Just anything. Take time to just inspect ourselves. We want it all, Lord. We want it all. Help us to know. Help us to really know the height, the length, the width, the depth of your love for us and for each other. Help us, Lord. We want it all. We want to know and have. Not just be filled, not just the fullness. We want all the fullness. We want all that you have for us, Father. We want it all that you have for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You ready to receive the body and blood of the Lord? For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take and eat this. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's remember his love right now and his broken body. Receive his body together. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for taking all of our punishment. Thank you for taking all of our diseases. Thank you for paying that fine for us, bearing literally all the wrath of God upon your body, paying your fine for us. By your stripes we declare that we are healed, and we thank you for it. Bring healing to your people, spiritual healing, physical, mental, emotional, all types of healing. Nothing is too difficult for you. You can heal it all and make us whole in Jesus' name. You have made us whole. We thank you. We're receiving it right now in the name of Jesus. And all the precious, precious, sweet, awesome blood of Jesus. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And there is power. Power. There's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. To God be the glory for the great things that he has done for us. He has done. He's the only one that could do it for us. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This you do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's receive the blood of the Lord together. As one, we receive your blood, Jesus. We thank you for your precious blood. Hallelujah. Are you ready to worship the Lord? Let's worship him. His glory is here.